What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This, of course, is our live stream. But, of course, if you're listening to this on audio, this is not the live stream. But, yeah, this is episode 246. And our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback. And, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
I'm like super excited to get into this one. Like we've been amping up for these launches.
Yeah.
I feel like here and we've had launches like a bunch lately, right? We had,
yeah,
we're just keeping going.
It is. I think, well, one, you always do traditionally have launches before holiday season, mm-hmm. but they're a little bit more spaced out. And I think that because there was no Computex where a lot of things do get launched and then you have like, you have an announcement there and then like a segmented launch after that, there's no Computex. So yeah. Now companies are like, okay, we're going to launch this range of products over this next month. And it's just been crazy. Like I said, I feel like I haven't slept in like a few days trying
to
get
benchmarking, right?
I've been benchmarking and testing and retesting and switching out systems and
yep.
doing all kinds of stuff. So, but yeah, for everybody who is here in the live stream, definitely say what's up in the chats. Definitely check out the show notes. The show notes are linked in the description of the video that you're watching. If you can't find them, just go to the podcast section on the website and you'll see the show notes for episode 246. So yeah, let's jump right into it. I think the big thing today, that's why we're podcasting on Thursday instead of Wednesday like we normally do. We pushed it back a day because today is Ryzen 5000 series launch day, and it's
exciting.
I'm impressed. So when it comes to CPUs, for the most part, especially on the Intel side, and then AMD did it, like generation over generation, you don't see a whole lot of change. And mm-hmm. you don't get super excited when there's not a new chipset. So for me, like when CPUs launch, I'm really excited for the new chipset because there's going to be new motherboards and the features that come on those motherboards. Like for Ryzen 3000 series, it was Gen 4, PCI Express Gen 4. I was super excited about that. That was one of the main reasons to get Ryzen 3000 was for that. And that was, you know, so for me, like the motherboards are a big thing. But with Ryzen 5000 series, there's a bug that's literally flying around my face. You guys probably can't see it in the video.
I was like, you're like, no, there's not a bug. What do you? Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's no, like, I don't see you it. Know, this like, you ever see those like little gnats that are just
like super like tiny?
Yeah. And yeah. It's so annoying. But, anyways, Ryzen 5000 series, they'll slot into a B550, I think even a B450. And an X570 motherboard. So there's no, we will see a couple of companies come out with boards specifically yep. made for, you know, the 5000 series, but you're not going to see newer features and things like that. So you would expect, as most people would, you expect a slight increase in performance and kind of just the same. It's a, you know, it's a refresh. But with the 5000 series, the big thing is that we're moving from the Zen 2 architecture to the Zen 3 architecture. And with that, AMD basically rebuilt the architecture from the ground up. And the reason, one of the big reasons they want to do that is to really improve on single core performance, but also gaming. There was always, we said it in all our reviews over the past couple of years, is that Ryzen was great. It performed really good. But when it came to gaming, Intel always won. They did. Even something like an 8700K would give you better performance than like a top end Ryzen 3000 series chip. Just that's just the architecture. Yeah. That's how it went.
You know, they were able to say that, and they, you know, it was proven. You know, everybody's benchmark showed it, and they could continue to say, "Hey, we've got the best gaming CPU." And AMD, while they were trying, right, and could tout other things like better multi-core performance and things like that, they still just couldn't take that title of, well, we've got the best gaming CPU now.
Yeah, so that was kind of like the big thing, was that that's what they really wanted to do. Yeah. I'm going to go over Zen 3 really quickly talk about some of the things that AMD really wanted to do. So I'll bring it up here for you. So when their main design goals, when they were doing Zen 3, like I talked about performance, deliver performance, especially in single core, but also in multi-core, and the IPC uptick would not be dependent on multi-core. We saw that with Ryzen 3000 series. You didn't get much of an increase in single core performance. It was mostly multi-core. Mm-hmm. And then latency. So they're moving from a 4-core complex to an 8-core complex now. That allows the cores to talk to each other much faster. That it allows for more available cache. And then finally, efficiency. So we saw it with Intel. The TDPs of the processors went up. You know, they wanted more performance, and the how you get more performance a lot of the times is by giving it more power. You give it more power, it can perform better. Efficiency was a big thing here. So these chips retain the same TDPs as their predecessors. So you're not adding more power, which inevitably adds more heat. So when they designed all this, those were the things in mind. You can see that you would get around like a 19% IPC increase. And there's a whole a bunch
versus Zen 2, right? Yeah.
Yeah, versus Zen 2. There's a whole bunch of reasons for that. That's in this. If you guys want to check out the written review, I won't go over all of that. And then you can see kind of the breakdown of which you know, that 19%, here's all the reasons why. And kind of, you know, you can see all that. And then, like I said, moving from a 4-core complex, like you could see here, where, you know, in Zen 2 and then Zen 3, we have a 8-core complex now. And
that's what really showed it for me, right? Was the previously in Zen 2, you had the two L3 caches, and now they totaled 32 megs. Now you have mm-hmm. the single 32 that all of those cores can talk to, and they have access to a larger chunk availability, right? Instead of, and before they had to cross their
the SSE.
Yes, thank you. I think this image like makes like perfect sense and shows what they did in a very easy to understand like graphic, and mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, so that's one of the major changes. And then the efficiency, mm-hmm. we can see the performance per watt increase that you would see, you know, comparing to like the i9-10900K and then going up. That was a big thing too. And I think that's really good because we have seen, you know, you do see that on the Intel side. You do see that, the 10900K and even the 9900K, I mean, you needed like very hot, you needed very strong VRM on a lot of motherboards. We had all that, the issues when it came to overclocking, all of that. So I think that overall, their design goals were really realistic and they help out with a lot of things. And you'll see that in the performance. So I'll talk about the 5900X first, which we reviewed. That is the 12-core, 24-thread processor. It is effectively replacing the 3900X or 3900XT from the previous generation. Base clock of 3.7 gigahertz. It's going to boost up to 4.8 gigahertz. 64 megabytes of L3 cache, same 105 watt TDP, as I said. I'm looking at the chat now. Kayla is in the chat. She says, my friends, we're her only friends, probably. And she said, I didn't do my hair. Yeah, I didn't do my hair. And if we have videos for the 5900X and 5600X, and I didn't do my hair in those videos either, which is weird. That's probably because like I haven't slept and trying to get all this done. The big change with the Ryzen 9 and Ryzen 7 from the 5000 series is that they do not come with CPU coolers. So all you're going to get is just the processor. For some people, that's fine because a lot of people probably are going to buy their own. But I did like it. That was the only downside, I would say, to these processors is just because if it's like, you know, you've saved this much money, or, you know, it's you know, this paycheck and I want to get my computer built, a good CPU cooler is $50, right? Mm-hmm. AIO is around 100. Having the Wraith Prism, which I thought was good, it got pretty loud, but it still was a good CPU cooler, in my opinion. to not have it with this is a little bit of a bummer, I would say. So that is kind of like the gist on the specs of the 5900X. We move into performance, and it's at the top of everything. It beats the Core i9-10900K in all of the CPU tests, which we directly compared it against. It beats the previous generation Ryzen 9 3900X at all of our tests as well. Kosher Tech is in the live stream. Thanks for tuning in. He's been here. He's like our new regular. I think he's here pretty much every week.
Yep.
So yeah, and Derek, Derek, I didn't see you. Derek is in here as well. He's here a lot as well in the live stream. Yep. So
Old Man was there at the beginning as well. So
oh yeah, I didn't see Old Man. He's in there as well. So but yeah, so as far as most of our almost all of our CPU tests, I won't go through everyone because I feel like they'll be pretty boring.
It's pretty obvious. You start looking at these graphs and scrolling through and you're like, wait a sec, like this is number one all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, you kind of expected that. And I talk about this a lot in my video, actually, is that, you know, beyond gaming, they really, I don't know if they needed to launch these processors just for the fact that I feel like the Ryzen 3000 series, even today, is sure. very competitive, especially in multi-core workloads compared to, you know, Intel's 10th generation core processors that just are.
Yep.
So yeah, so again, you can see at the test, it's the number one. Now, gaming is a little different. It competes, and it competes heavily. You can see like the 10900K beats it in 3D Mark Time Spy, but then it beats the 10900K in 3D Mark Firestrike Superposition. The 5600K actually beat it, which is kind of weird, but it did. In actual gaming, we tested all of our games at 1440p, which I feel is becoming the new standard resolution. Ashes of Singularity, it beat the 10900K. Borderlands is interesting because Borderlands does not like AMD CPUs. I found that out. So most of our AMD CPUs were pretty low on this graph. Far Cry New Dawn, it was beat by the 10900K, but not by much. Same thing with Metro Exodus by like a couple FPS, where if you look at like the 3900K, it's way down here. So you can see the performance gap that was, you know,
from generation to generation.
Yeah, from generation to generation is really good. And then Shadow of the Tomb Raider, it beat the 10900K. Again, it's like before you always knew that the Intel chips were going to perform better. You just knew it. There wasn't a question. Now, I think we're trading blows. I think it's going to depend on title a lot. But I think that you have a choice now. If you're like a pure gamer, I think that you really have the choice to be like, okay, I can go AMD and I can go Intel. And in gaming, I can expect pretty much the same results. Again, depending on title, I think, like I said, Borderlands doesn't like AMD CPUs. But overall, I think, you know, you have the choice. And I think that's really good. I think that's pretty awesome. I'll go to one of the really impressive things, which I'll show you, is our comparisons as far as the Ryzen 9 5900X compared to the 3900X and the performance increases that we saw. So as I said, the single core performance is you're going to see a lot. So directly comparing the Ryzen 9 5900X to the Ryzen 9 3900X in both Geekbench single thread and Cinebench single thread, around 21% increase in performance generation over generation in single thread.
That's nuts. I mean, that type of jump is not, like you said kind of earlier, we don't expect to see that kind of performance increase from one generation to the next. Like this is like a multi-generation jump.
That's all because they rebuilt the architecture. Yep. Yeah, they rebuilt the architecture. And then all the rest, these are all multi-core. And you see anywhere on like the low end, 8% in, 8.7% increase all the way up to like 18%, which is good. I mean, again, you don't expect crazy IPC increases, especially because, again, we're on the same 7-nanometer process. So I think overall, you're getting great single core. You're getting pretty good multi-core performance. And then gaming is really interesting. So beyond Borderlands, which again, it doesn't like AMD at all. So you're not going to see a real difference there. But just by replacing the 3900X and putting in the 5900X, you know, our test systems were all the same. In Shadow of the Tomb Raider, 18% increase. Metro Exodus, 8.64% increase. Far Cry New Dawn, 16.66% increase. Ashes of the Singularity, 13.94% increase. Just by putting in a new processor, that's pretty awesome. I mean, you really wouldn't expect that. And I think, again, if you're, these numbers will dramatically increase if you went from, say, like a 2700X. By just putting in a new CPU, you're getting increased gaming performance. You typically don't see that either. So I think that AMD has really done a good job. They've closed the gap on gaming. At least the 5900X compared to the 10900K, they trade blows. I would say that.
Yeah.
As far as pricing, the 5900X is $549. So pretty much all of their new 5000 series chips will have a $50 premium over the previous generation, which I think is very fair.
I think they're priced fairly, you know, the previous generation was priced pretty fair, and the $50 price premium on this generation, I think, is like more than justifiable with the performance we're seeing out of them.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So that's the 5900X. We also took a look at the 5600X, which is the replacement for the 3600X, which I said last year was the mid-range king. Like, if you wanted build a mid-range PC, this is the chip that I recommended because it was that good. It was the chip that basically made Intel turn on hyper-threading for their Core i5 line, because it launched in the mid-range as a 6-core 12-thread processor, completely unlocked. So this is the upgrade to that, and man, it is again going to be the mid-range king. We directly compared it to a Core i5 10600K, which is that's what you would compare it to. It beats it in all of the CPU tests. It beats it in all, handily beats it in all of the gaming tests as well. So there's no question, if you're in this price range between $250 and $300 on a CPU, the 5600X is the way to go. That's just there's no comparison.
Cool. This does come with the cooler though as well, right?
Yeah. It comes with the Wraith Stealth, which is not
the same as the Aspire.
It's not the same.
By any means.
It's not the same as the Aspire. It's also not the same as the Prism, which is the RGB. Yeah. It's only a 65 watt processor, so the Wraith Stealth will do its job. But you do get the cooler, which again saves you money in the beginning, and then next paycheck you have money to buy buy something else. On this one, I'll show you the same graphs that I made as performance generation over generation. Single thread, 16.92% and 19.75% increase over the 3600X. And then on multi-core, you see on the low end, we're at 12.83%. On the high end, goes up to 17.63%. So again, the same type of really great single core performance, generation over generation. Multi-core is still very good as well. Kosher Tech asks, which motherboards support these chips? I know X570 and B550 for sure. I also believe B450.
I was trying to find it here.
With an update, will support them as well. Which is nice, because that allows somebody with, say, like a 2700X to upgrade without having to do much of anything. Nathan is in the chat. He said hello. I think that's their name.
I'd say it's Nathan.
Yeah. But yeah, so I believe I don't know if it's X470. I don't know if it's X470 as well. I don't know if you can check on that. And then we'll go to gaming performance. Same thing. Borderlands, of course, is the outlier. But you know, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, 17.8% increase. Metro Exodus, 9.36% increase. Far Cry New Dawn, 15.51% increase. And then Ashes of the Singularity, 18.34% increase over a 3600X, which was the, you know, the previous CPU. So just by
X470 is supported.
Yeah,
as long as the manufacturer provides a BIOS that
and I think they're holding, I don't know why, but I think there a lot of manufacturers are holding BIOS updates on B450 and X470 till January. I don't know why. Maybe because they want you to buy you a board, but that's what I've heard.
Okay.
That's what I've heard. But in any case, again, that allows somebody to buy a 20 or who had maybe had a 2700X, right? Yep. That allows them to get a 5900X, and that allows or whatever, and to see dramatic increase just in gaming, just by slotting in a new CPU, not buying anything else. I think that's pretty awesome. And it's an easier upgrade path compared to Intel, right?
Sure.
Because all you have to do is buy a new CPU. You don't have to buy, you know, a new motherboard. You don't have to buy, you know, any of that stuff. So yeah,
nope, they're doing it right.
Yeah, I'm really impressed.
So for someone with like in my situation with a year old 3800X, like, do you think it's worth it to? And I know we looked at
no,
like, I don't either. Okay,
I always say the you're gonna see some better performance, but it's not drastic. No,
I don't think it's like for me. If you're someone that's like, I always buy the new iPhone, you know, if you have to be on that leading edge all the time, okay, maybe. But like for me, I'm not even concerned that my CPU is needing replace. Now on my other Ryzen system, like my 1800X, yeah, I think the price or the performance difference between that to this 5000 generation would be considerable.
Yeah, so both Kosher
for sure
says he has a 2700X in Shinny. They but you know, and to think about it, 2700X was the flagship when it launched, was it not? Because there was no Ryzen 9 at that point, correct?
Yeah, the Ryzen 9 didn't come out till last.
So that was the flagship, right? So if you want to go to, I guess, the 3900X, which for $500 or $550, right, you would effectively, I don't know, we didn't test the 2700X, so I can't tell you just the performance increase in gaming that you're going to get, but it's going to be pretty dramatic. I would say based on, I have to bring that graph back up, but I would say you're going to get like 30
to maybe 40 on some tests, do you think?
I would say around 30. It probably has to, you know, but in games, like you would see a 30% increase in performance just by slotting in a new processor.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're not having to update anything else. You don't need a new motherboard. You know, you already have you don't need anything else. Like, how awesome is that? I think that is the big thing. So people on first gen or second gen Ryzen, especially second gen, because you would have a compatible motherboard more than likely. It is a good upgrade if that's what you're looking for. But at the same time, I mean, a 2700X is still a really good processor right now.
Sure.
That if you need that 550 for something else, use it on something else, right? Yeah. But if you're looking to upgrade, it's a solid upgrade. So yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. The 5600X again has the $50 premium. So the 3600X launched at $249. This is $299. I still think it's an excellent price. And I didn't like it comes with a CPU cooler, so I really don't have any issues with it whatsoever. Cool. So yeah, I'm pumped about these. As much as I really get pumped for new motherboards, they did enough to really get me excited just for the CPU part. And the biggest
I'm just waiting for them to say that they have the best gaming processor, right? Like, where's that tweet, or where's that, you know, they, whatever
in their slide deck? That's what it says. It says the world's best gaming processor.
Yeah, they need to be a little more like shoving it in our faces a little.
Yeah,
right.
I think again, there are specific tests. I know Borderlands is one, yeah. And I also know that what's the one where you're the, I can't think of the name of the game. You like, where go back in time. And you're like this guy, this assassin, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, Assassin's Creed, yeah.
One of the new Assassin's Creeds does not like AMD. It doesn't. It just doesn't. So Intel always performs better on that. But beyond that, like I said, they've done a really good job. It's the thing I like is that there was always that caveat. It was always there. You could, mm-hmm. you know, your friend would ask you, "I just want to play games. What will get me the most FPS?" And it was always Intel.
Yep.
And you could tell them about Gen 4, you know all this stuff, but
yeah, but that doesn't increase their gaming performance, so.
Yeah. So, we'll move on from that. If you guys have any questions about 5000 series, drop it in the comments or chat or whatever, you know, you can do it on Facebook. If you're watching on Twitter, you can do it there. Yep. And on YouTube. I think most of ours are coming from YouTube, but if you have any questions, drop it in there. I'm making an effort to look at the chat this time. I do have a new monitor. Did we talk about me breaking my monitor?
We talked about you breaking it. We didn't talk about your replacement.
So no,
I don't know if you got a replacement.
I didn't get the replacement that I wanted. I'm using it's the same. It's a 34 inch ultra wide that I just had sitting around, which isn't a horrible thing, I guess.
Oh, I just had this sitting around.
It's the MSI one, which. The only reason I didn't, and it was actually better than the Viotech one because this is 144 hertz. But the reason that I didn't use it is because it's the bezels are black and it doesn't go with my white desk where the
listen to this guy.
Well, it just, you know. Anyways.
Shinny says, yeah, just sitting around right next to all the gold bricks.
I wish I'd rather have gold bricks. That'd get me a lot. More things.
Yeah, they're kind of heavy.
So like I said, we'll move on to I reviewed a really awesome product that I've had sitting around because I really wanted to do this build, and I'll be putting a video out on it as well. Was the Inwin 925, which I also reviewed this week, and I don't know how I got all this stuff.
Dude, I don't know how you did all that.
Sleep's overrated.
What sleep?
What sleep? So this is funny that you say it because it's a massive case, but this is the smaller little brother to the Inwin 928. And we first saw the Inwin 928 at CES 2019. Which was
that thing was huge.
Yeah, it was this massive case built for the Intel.
It's Dominus motherboard, wasn't it?
14-inch by 14-inch motherboard. It supported dual full-size power supplies, and it was pretty cool looking, but it was like, I don't need all this space, I don't need two power supplies, you know. So they made a smaller version, and this is it is pretty cool as far as the design. I'll get into the pictures so you guys can see it. The outer frame is built out of aluminum, and it's thick aluminum too. So the entire outer frame, it's technically two pieces, but they say it's one piece because this back piece is like a piece that comes off, but this is all one piece. So what's pretty cool about that is that it allows most cases, you don't get curves and lines like this in most cases. So this allows them to do these curves, which I think look pretty cool. You can not be a fan or be a fan if you want, but this really allows that. I think it's really cool. So it's a big, heavy case. These side panels, you can see me taking a picture of the side panel, but these side panels are massive. I think they're 4 millimeters thick, tempered glass. They have these little screws that'll make them pretty easy to come off. And the thing that's pretty cool about this is that you can see the space between like the outer part of the case. That actually allows for some airflow. This is by no means a high airflow case, but it does allow for airflow, which is
nice. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, right? Like in most cases, your panels are pretty, like tolerances are pretty tight for the most part, right? Like your side panels fit on tightly and your air is typically coming in through the front or maybe the bottom through some intake grills and out the back or the top, right? Whereas with this, there's big gaps in between. So there's going to be air movement inside, but it's definitely not your standard airflow type case by any means.
Moving on to the back, there's that panel that I talked about. This is removable. And we'll talk about that and how I'm not the biggest fan of it. But that also is aluminum. And if moved to the inside, so it's an aluminum kind of outer part of the case. And then the inside of the case is made of steel. And you can see it's big. It supports up to EATX motherboards. It does have the 8 expansion slots, which means that it actually does support EATX, because you can actually put a card in that bottom PCI Express slot if your the motherboard supports it. As far as cooling, you can do 9 fans. So they're all 120s, but you can do 3, 3, and 3. What's pretty cool about the cooling is that you would think they would be kind of hard to get to. If you remove these kind of nuts that are on these screws, they actually, the cooling brackets completely, like these, you take these off and the cooling brackets come out, which makes it really easy to install the fans. Both of them have filters, so you don't have dust coming into your system. And you can see, you know, they also both fit 360 mil radiator or radiators if you wanted to install radiators there. On the back part of the case, you have a bunch of room for storage. These two larger trays, all of the trays are removable. These two larger trays support 3.5 inch, 1 3.5 or 1 2.5 inch drive. These two, of course, are smaller and only support 2.5 inch drives. And then you have a hard drive cage down here that has two pull-out trays that are completely removable. They support either 1 3.5 inch drive or 1 2.5 inch SSD. So lots, I mean, like I said, what was that? Six drives, which is pretty, you know, it's a lot. And then of course your power supply goes right in the bottom there. Inwin was nice enough to send us not only 9 fans for this.
You got a big boy power supply too.
Yeah, they sent us a really nice power supply as well. Installation is incredibly easy because you have so much space in here. Like, look how small a full ATX motherboard looks inside this thing.
It's like you could, it almost looks like you could put another one next to it. I don't think there's enough room, but it almost looks that big.
Yeah. Old man said the Inwin 925 is out of stock on Amazon. It's $499 on Amazon. Yeah, that's the price. It is expensive. We'll definitely talk about that. Installing everything on this was incredibly easy. The one issue that I did have is that all of these fans, which they sent us RGB fans, they have, I'm sure Kosher knows a lot about this, is that they have, each fan has a power cable, and then it has an RGB cable that's a split that allows you to daisy chain them. And that's a lot of cable mess. And on these cooling brackets, there's nowhere to really route your cables. Like, these holes aren't made for routing cables. They're not actually big enough. These holes are made to hold the fan filter on. They're not made for routing. So there's no way to route these cables. So it just gets annoying that you have to take all the cables either through the bottom or through the top when you have these installed, which is pretty annoying, especially if you mess with RGB cables. They easily come undone. So if you adjust anything, they come undone.
Yeah, we got to get manufacturers to change those pin connections.
Like, there are a few.
They like pull apart so easy.
Yeah, there are a few. I know Lee and Lee makes the ones that kind of just go together. Yep. I think Inwin did have a version that were like,
they'd snap together or something, maybe.
Yeah, I forget. But our finished build, it looks pretty nice. It's very clean. There is a lot of space. Now, one thing that I did notice, and it was kind of, it's just like a looks thing for me, but like you can see the cable routing holes.
Put some rubber grommets in there. Like, this is a $500 case. Figure out a way to make that look nicer. Like Fantex, they have those panels that, you know, cover up items. Inwin can figure it out, right? They make these $10,000 cases that are like works of art. They can figure out something to go in these cases for cable management.
Yeah. So especially like this one right here, you can say that I could hit these cables a little bit better, maybe, right?
You could hit those cables a little better.
Yeah, but right here, there's a hard drive here, and there's a hard drive down here, and both of the connections are right here in this, I would say,
just, little, yeah,
in this little opening or window, and if you had a grommet there, you wouldn't have that problem.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, again, for the price of this case, that is a problem for me. But this case does look pretty nice, all lit up. This is the Inwin logo on the front. It lights up with the RGB lighting. So all the RGB light, this is the only thing that lights up on the case. It's a standard 3-pin, so it's addressable, so you can connect it to your motherboard. I actually connected all the fans as well as this to, you know, I daisy chained everything and just connected it to my motherboard. You can see what it looks like. It looks really, really good. Yeah. I like their fans. It's such a big case that if you really wanted to light up the inside more, you probably want to get some RGB strips. But again, like, you can like see through these holes.
Yep.
And that's another thing too, is because the backside panel is also glass, you can see through completely. And like, you can just see these holes.
Yeah. It wouldn't be so bad if it was a steel. I mean, steel would look weird on this case, right? Glass just makes sense on both sides, but maybe like a darker tinted glass or something there, because yeah, it's just look, doesn't look right.
Says he says, I hate that PSU cutout. Yeah, I think it kind of looks cool because we have lighting on our power supply, but for the most part, yeah, I think that, and again, for certain power supplies, this would be flipped.
Well, and I saw Intense Webs mentioned Jay's 2 cents, and he's actually, he did a build in this case just recently, and he actually fitted that window with a custom like LCD screen to show like CPU temps and things like that. Yeah, I'm not usually a fan of those cutouts either. Like, unless you have a cool power supply that has something on the side, I just don't get it. Like, I don't care about someone putting my sticker for 650 watts or whatever.
I think that's why Inwin sent us this, because it lights up. But the other thing that, again, is bothersome to me, let me go back to, let's go back to the, for, or, yeah, go back one more. The back part of the case here, so you can see there's no real holes for any cables. They'd have to come out the bottom here.
Yeah, so, there's that big cutout on the side.
Yeah. So, you know, your motherboard's going to be up here. There's no holes for any of your cables or to even access it. So you have to unscrew this entire back panel anytime you want to plug something in. That's even like swapping out a graphics card cable or plugging in a new mouse. You have to completely remove the panel. And if you don't have any fans there, it's not that biggest deal. But if you have fans installed, which we did, I mean, we had 3 fans installed with all of your RGB cables going down this way. You know, I take the panel off, plug my stuff in, put the panel back on, and then I realize one of my RGB cables came undone and only 2 of the fans are lit up. So I have to go take it off, find out which one it is. I just think they could have done something. I just don't like. I know that it's for the look, but I want access to my rear I/O when I get it something new, and I just want to plug it in. I don't want to have to take things apart to plug in, you know, like a new mouse or keyboard or whatever.
Well, and then how much, like if your fans are mounted on the inside, you mentioned video card connections, right? Like, do you have to bend like your HDMI or your display port?
I didn't run into that issue. But coming down to it, it's a $500 case. That is a lot. I think based on materials, it sort of warrants that price, because that is pretty heavy duty aluminum. Which is, again, a single piece that's bent. And then you have those very big tempered glass panels as well.
Yep.
So there's a lot there. Again, I don't like these. Like, that just doesn't look nice. And there's no way to clean that up. There, even with good cable management, it's just you need something to cover these holes. It also doesn't come with any fans. We had to install all of these fans. We installed 9 fans, which would have, I don't know how much these specific fans.
Those fans cost. Are actually pretty affordable, because I had them in the 905. And they're not too bad for a three pack, honestly. But yeah. Still, yeah, that's added cost for sure.
Yeah, so I only gave it an 8 out of 10. Price is kind of high. There, I mean, even if you get like around the 250 range, there's some really amazing cases for 250. Going up to 500 is pretty expensive for what you're getting. And then some of the issues that I think internally things could have been done better. And as cases have evolved over the past like 3 or 4 years, we really look to how easy it is for builders and things like that. So that's kind of my two cents on it. I do like it. I think it's an awesome case, but I wouldn't myself, I don't think I would pay $500 for it. If it was 300, it'd be more reasonable for me, I think. And then finally, Tyler, who is an old friend of mine, he's going to start writing for us again, doing little reviews here and there. He took a look at, it might even be almost the same one you took a look at.
It's very similar.
Yeah, they're probably all made by the same company, honestly. But he took a look at a portable monitor, which I think these are great. We're not going to go into detail on this because we're already 41 minutes in. And
I know, I was just looking at that. I was like, all right.
Oh, it's Ryzen 5000 series. We've got to talk
about. Lots to talk about.
But this is the Lipao 15.6-inch Z1 Gamut portable monitor. The biggest thing with these is that I think especially everybody who's still working from home, buying a bigger monitor than your laptop monitor or buying a second monitor, having like a big one, like even like a 24-inch, like they're just cumbersome and big. These are super small and easy. A lot of times you can take display from USB on these or like HDMI very easily. If you do it through USB, a lot of the times that USB cable will also power it. And then hopefully when all this the dust settles and we can, most of you, you know, you can go back to your job. This is a portable monitor, which means you can take it places. You can, you know, hook it up to like an Xbox or a PlayStation and use it that way, like on trips or whatever. It's, if you buy a normal monitor for like work from home and you're not going to use it again, it's like a waste and it's big and it's cumbersome. I love these for like work from home scenarios. They're that good.
Yeah, I've been using, like, I have mine sitting right here. It's still hooked up to my laptop because, like, on Wednesdays I work remote, and yeah, it's awesome to have that secondary monitor there. And just if I've brought the laptop upstairs the night before or something, just plugging in the HDMI and the USB is so nice.
Yeah, Kosher asked,
that's very cool.
The Inwin 925 or the 1000D. I gotta look up the 1000D.
The 1000D is nice as well. It's like a behemoth of a case. It's huge as well.
And this, it doesn't come with all those fans, does it?
I don't think so. No, I don't think it comes with any fans either.
Yeah.
It's a nice case. Like,
how much isn't it?
It's 500 as well.
Yeah. You get I mean, I'm just looking at it. Like, you would get.
You do get the control, the light this is, and fan this control.
This is the thing that I hated about it, because I remember seeing this. I think this was also 2019 when they showed this. I think it wasn't this past year, was it? Or was it?
No, it definitely wasn't this year, but it might even be older than.
Like, they make it to be a dual system case. Like, you could put two systems here. What is this crap? What is this? I know that's the second motherboard, but like, it looks like the cheapest power supply cover that I've ever seen. And then you have this tray here hard drive cage here. I just don't like it. Maybe I'm being like too critical. Maybe I'm too critical these days. I did like this though. Grumpy old man. Again, yeah, I'm a grumpy old man. Why is this hard drive? Why is this even here? When you have this is what I liked about it. It was like opening the doors and having all this storage room. I get why you have this because it's for 3.5 inch, but 3.5 inch. If I was to choose out of the two.
Those slides are nice as well, right? Like, they slide in and out real nicely. Like, this might be I don't know. I think I like the looks of the Inwin case, but like building and functionality and like having it, this one might be the better case.
Yeah, functionality and storage. So these are 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 hard drives in this and dual system. Yeah, No fans on
those Lambo doors.
Yeah, the Lambo doors, basically.
There you go.
I would. I would go with the Corsair case, just for functionality aspect of it. And again, I just hate that back part of the case where I have to take it off every time I want to connect something. That would get old. So yeah, oh yeah, this was the first case that did this. I remember the RGB went through this whole top part. I remember when they showed us this.
Yeah. The RGB, yes, but InWin 303 had that the lighting around the USB ports on the front.
But this was just RGB, RGB that you can control with IQ.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, I would pick the Obsidian over that. Real quickly, because again, this is gonna be a long podcast, I feel.
I got games to play, man.
Yeah, we got a new Apex coming. So Case Mod Friday this week, we have a build from NPC Project. It's called Egyptian Mod. And the thing I like about this, my favorite thing about this build, it's obviously Egyptian themed, is that he was able to make these, what are these called? Mm-hmm. What is the like name
for Anubis?
Is that what it's called?
Right.
Anubis? Is that the...
Anubis is an Egyptian god, modification. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, he was able to design these or build these so they would effectively hold the reservoirs,
mm-hmm.
and it works. It just like, to me at least, it works so well. I've never seen something like that.
I don't know, it's cool because they're like holding them on their backs.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like I've never seen a build that had like a figurine or something holding, like it was holding something. I think that's just interesting to me. This is done inside of a Cooler Master case, as you can see. I don't know who all the water cooling is by. I think it's Fitzpower, it looks like. Gold theme, you know.
Chakwa on the radiators.
Yeah, and I think that the cool thing is that they basically gutted the inside and they built this little, because this is a mini ITX that they've done, and they've kind of built all of this kind of around it, which is pretty interesting. And even the power supply is kind of meant to be shown off, which is pretty cool, I think.
The thing that bugs me on this, and I didn't really pay attention to it till now, is that those power supply cables are like, I wish they were more organized. They just look like spaghetti-ish a bit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? For like a pro build, especially when you have the...
Right, they had the combs on there.
Yeah, so... but overall, like I said, I think it's pretty cool. There's only been a couple people that have done really good Egyptian mods. I forget the other guy who did one.
I would have liked to seen something done with the silver and gray parts of the exterior of the case as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think internally it's done very well. Externally, it could have been done. There could have been more done externally. But definitely check that out on our Case Mod Friday section of the site. We have a ton of builds there if you want to get inspiration or see what people are doing with case mods these days. Real quick reminder, we are giving away a Corsair K100 RGB gaming keyboard. Super easy to enter with, what is this called? This is Gleam. So super easy to enter with Gleam. You sign up for an email newsletter, and then there are 13 other ways that you can enter. 15 days left, and then we'll have another contest after that. So I'm pretty excited for that as well. And then finally, 50 minutes into our podcast, we are getting to news. So we talked at length, obviously, about Ryzen 5000 series. Real quick, Oldman said he has seen action figures holding up a GPU to fight SAG. Yeah, I have seen that. Now that I look at this 3090 in here, I kind of
got a little SAG going.
Yeah. It's a little bit, but so we talked about Ryzen 5000 series, and Intel's response to that will be their 11th gen Rocket Lake S processors. Now, Rocket Lake S is still going to be 14 nanometer, and we hope. That it's going to be the last hurrah or the seventh generation of 14 nanometer products from Intel. But they detailed it just recently. And you can see some of the new features. The biggest thing is you get 20 CPU PCIe 4.0 lanes. That's kind of the big thing. They also say that you're going to get double-digit percentage IPC performance improvement over gen over gen, which is a pretty impressive thing.
Double-digit can be 10, but yep, that's good.
Yeah. It's all detailed here. Again, we're not going to go over it that much, but there was a benchmark that actually came out on it, which is pretty... that shows that you're going to get double digits. And again, Rocket Lake S for everybody. Wait, go ahead.
Oh, I just said cool.
Rocket Lake S will be desktop. I didn't explain that. It will be, again, the replacement to like the 10900K, 10, you know, all that. So, but it was benchmarked in benchmark. This is user benchmark. An 8-core Rocket Lake CPU. The CPU ran at 4.2 gigahertz and scored a single core score of 179. The 10900K score is 152, which would be an 18% increase. And then, but if you compare it to 10700K, which is the 8-core equivalent, you know what I mean? That scores 148 points, which would be a 22% increase. So in single core performance. So are we going to see the same kind of single core performance that we saw for the Ryzen 5000 series?
Right.
That would be very interesting. That's... And that would be like, would Intel take back that gaming throne?
Right. I think AMD gets to hold the belt, right?
They for like a couple months,
hold that belt and wear it in the ring for a little while, and then is Intel coming to grab it back out?
Yeah. So this is expected. These are expected to launch in Q1 of 2021. So coming up here, we shall see. Still can't get that node down, which is kind of So moving over to graphics cards, the first thing is that NVIDIA is going to bundle. If you can get one, with the RTX 3080 and RTX 3090, they're going to bundle Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, which actually looks kind of interesting, like the actual game. So it's all 2080 or all 3080 and 3090s, as well as desktops that would feature those two cards. You can go on NVIDIA's website and see what it's specific retailers, but it's like the big ones. So maybe like your mom and pop store might not.
It's not going to have it.
Yeah, offer it. But all the big stores, at least in the United States, will offer this. So it's just a nice thing. If you are buying a 3080 or 3090, you get... and it also ends December 10th.
December, yeah.
Yeah, so if you can find a card, especially a 3080, before that time, you get Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. So that's fun. And then we have the 3060 Ti. So I hate these names, as we've talked about multiple times on here. This was supposed to launch November 17th. It looks like it's going to be pushed back to December 2nd, which would be 2 weeks. I don't know why they're pushing it back. Nobody knows. It was obviously going to slot in below the 3070. It's going to have the same memory configuration as the 3070, which is 8 gigabytes of GDDR6. It will have a lower TDP of only 180 watts. A lot of people are saying it's going to performance is going to be kind of around the 2080 Super. We don't know price. 2080 Super, of course, launched at $700. A 3070 is $499. This would probably be, how much do you think this would be, like $399?
I think 450 is too high.
I don't know why they're launching a TI.
A TI, right. That's what I'm like. So why aren't we launching the 3060 and then give us the TIs later on, or the Supers later on as a refresh? Because are they even going to have a 3060 to come out? But knowing them, they will, because that's what they do.
It's so confusing now. It really is. And the funny thing is like, I was like, this is going to be called the 3060. They're not going to call it a TI. And then, no, it's definitely being called the TI, because we have leaked images of Gigabyte's RTX 60 Ti Eagle OC graphics card, where you can see on the box, on the render, that it says 3060 Ti.
Okay.
As I've said, NVIDIA, you confuse us so much.
Yep.
Because you put out too many cards at all these different price points, and we don't know, like, again, if you would have kept it like before, like, you had your, what, 2080, 2070, 2060, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then later, you got TIs or Supers.
Yep,
right? One. Now you're launching a TI first, which doesn't make any sense.
Right, before you even have the standard version of it, which,
yeah,
I don't get this.
Yeah, but the Eagle card is like their low, is Gigabyte's kind of like entry level card, so it's not anything impressive. But that's kind of what it looks like. So that does kind of confirm that it is going to be a 3060 Ti, which is confusing to me.
Yeah.
Also talking about TIs is that apparently, and this is really weird to me, because I feel that more than 16 gigabytes of VRAM on a gaming card, it's high. You know, there's rumors that NVIDIA is working on a 3080 Ti with 20 gigabytes of GDDR6. I don't know.
I mean, what are you playing that's going to take advantage of that, I guess?
Yeah. The issue that I see, like, again, the 3090, which has 24 gigabytes of GDDR6X. There's not a whole lot of scenarios where you take up that stat.
Star Citizen, Shinny says.
Maybe. I don't know. But again, like, I just don't see. And again, the reason why we don't have these cards or availability of these cards is because there's not a whole lot of GDDR6X out there. Like, there's not.
Yeah.
That's why there's not a whole lot of these cards. We've talked about a 3080 Ti possibly. I see it as a faster card. I don't see it with 20 gigabytes of VRAM, but there was a tweet that showed a tag card that had 20 gigabytes of VRAM from NVIDIA.
I mean, yeah, one old man says an 8K texture pack. Okay, but like, how many people are running 8K monitors? We don't even, we're like you said earlier in the podcast, like 1440 is kind of like maybe the norm now, or getting to be. 1080 is still king, right? We're not even at 4K to, you know, for displays. So I don't know. It just seems odd and to throw that much on there.
You have to think about it too, is because 3090, they said you could game it 8K, and there was like some people that bought an 8K monitor to show you that you could do that. 8K monitors are $5,000 right now.
I'll take two.
Yeah. I know, I got this gold brick sitting here. But like, you were getting like around 60 FPS, which is pretty impressive, actually.
Sure.
But like, 2 years ago, there were so many people that put out videos and put out articles that was like, gaming at 4K is dumb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's viable because we have the hardware that supports it. Gaming at 8K is dumb.
It's dumb, yeah.
Right now, it's dumb.
We'll revisit it in a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
But
I just don't see a 20 gigabyte 3080 Ti. I could be completely wrong, but I just don't. For me, I don't see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like Shinny said, I could see people doing 3D rendering or very detailed Photoshop stuff at home. That's what the 3090 is for. But again, there is going to be a 3080 Super or a 3080 Ti, because you go from what, $799 to $1499, right? So there's a big price gap, and you have the 6900X at $999, which they say is on somewhat of performance of a 30 90 definitely beats a 3080. So they're going to have to put something at that price point. I just don't see it with 20 gigabytes of VRAM. I could be wrong, but I don't know. Shinny says his eyes can't even see 8K. Mine either, probably. You see me trying to shoot people later when we play.
Oh, we saw 8K TVs at CES.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So moving over to AMD, they actually did something really cool, which I don't think anybody has ever done before, is that they released on their website their benchmarks. Like, we see all these presentations from AMD, Intel, NVIDIA, and we see their graphs, but we can't like compare or do anything with them.
Yeah.
You can just see them. You know what they've done is they've made this website, which I'll open up here, and this website allows you to select your game. So let's say, I don't know, Borderlands 3. You can select your resolution. They offer 1440 and 4K. You can select, okay, they only have badass, but a lot of the games, you can select the different settings, and then you can select your API if the game offers like a different API. And mm-hmm. you can see the performance in their tests, which whoever did all these tests for AMD, I feel bad for you.
That's a lot of tests.
Yeah, but you can see, you know, the 6900 XT, the 6800 XT, RTX 3090, RTX 3080, a 6800, and a 2080 Ti, and see the difference in performance. So, like, if you're like, I want to play Gears 5, I want to play it, I guess, one of these, which game offers Falcon? I know one of these.
Doom.
Yeah, so, like, Doom Eternal, like, you can select Falcon, you know. But, like, if you're, like, Gears 5, I'm going to play in a 1440, okay, these, you know, AMD cards are going to perform better for me, so I can do that. It's pretty cool that they offered, like, this much, you know.
And obviously, you know, down in the system config, you know, they are using the smart access memory, right? So they're using a 5000 yep. series Ryzen paired up with their 6000 series graphics card. So, you know, got to take that into consideration, but still, that's fine.
Really, again, I don't think we've ever seen like NVIDIA offer this, like, okay, pick your game. Okay, pick your settings. Here's yep. what it's going to perform at based on our configuration, which we also show you. That's pretty cool. Pretty open for AMD on that. So that's pretty cool. So we have that linked in the article if you want to check that out or see what, you know, what the upcoming AMD graphics cards will, how they will perform. Also talking about those graphics cards, they will support real-time ray tracing. A lot of people weren't sure how they would support it. Any game that's based on DirectX or Vulkan, the ray tracing will be supported with those. If there are certain games that use NVIDIA RTX specifically, like that's all they offer for real-time ray tracing, obviously that won't be supported, but open platforms like Vulkan and Microsoft DXR, of course, will support it. So if your game does have, is most games are built off one of those two, for the most part, it will support real-time ray tracing with the Radeon RX 6000 GPUs. So that's, you don't have to worry about like AMD putting out their own thing and then like there's like two games that support it at launch.
Yeah,
that sucks. You're like, yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. Kosher Tech says, we were talking about can't see 8K, you guys, I'll buy me some new eyes. Yeah, just get those gold bars and buy new eyes so that you can, you know, use those gold bars to buy more of those. You know, you got to buy two 8K monitors, not just one, you know. And then finally, I did say that with the Ryzen 5000 series that we will see some new motherboards, yep. a few. One of the new ones that was just announced this week is the ASRock X570 Phantom Gaming Velocita, which I think it looks really good. I actually think that when it comes to like RGB lighting, I think that ASRock hasn't toned it back so much like some of the other companies, and you get like, I think it's just the right amount for me. I don't know what you think about that.
I like it. I don't know. I'd like to see us get rid of that fan.
Well, oh, that's the S570 chipset.
Well,
yeah. This has what?
Didn't we see that Asus board without it?
There's an Asus board. Aorus has a board that doesn't have it. It is very hard because that chipset does get hot. But yeah.
Set of ports, yeah.
This board has killer Ethernet as well as killer Wi-Fi. Obviously, it's a gaming board, so it's good to see kind of like a refresh on X570. You'll see a couple high-end boards come out. I like the look of this board. I reviewed their other Velocita board, the Z490 Velocita, which I really liked. So yeah, check that out. If you're thinking about buying a Ryzen 5000 series CPU, you could obviously pair it with this if that's kind of fast rocks your thing. So yeah, and then we'll talk about what we have coming up next week really quickly. Ryan will be taking a look at the Cooler Master Master Liquid ML280 mirror, which we talked about a little bit last week.
Yep. So yeah, just pretty standard 280 millimeter radiator, all-in-one, infinity mirror type cooler design there, pump housing. Pretty basic past that, though, which I kind of go into in the review. So
nice. I'm bringing up the ASRock thing again. Does there say 8 SATA ports? Oh, there is 2. Yeah, okay. I never understand why they do that, especially on something like, again,
because you got how many M.2s?
2, which would have,
unless you have one in the back, but that's a lot of storage.
That's a lot of SATA, especially when we're a lot of moving to M.2.
Think of the case, like, how many cases do you know have 8 SATA spots? Mounting spots.
Fractal design. Okay,
Fractal, and that,
and what, like, that Corsair 1000B. yeah, I don't understand why they do that, because that's an extra cost, because these 6 are controlled by the chipset. This is like an AS Media controller somewhere, right? I remember ASRock had one that had like 12 on it. It, like, the entire end of the board was SATA's, which is really funny. That was like a couple years ago.
Enthusiast, like, gaming type board. I see it on a, you know, a workstation board, sure, but
yeah. Paul will be taking a look at the EX2 SSD from Team Group. Pretty standard SATA 2.5-inch SSD. So he has the 512 gigabyte version of that. And then there's a new case coming out next week. I can't tell you about it, but we'll have that for you as well. Oldman says his ASRock Z170 has 8. Yeah, like they're like one of those companies that could, like, just puts a lot of SATA ports on there. I could see, like when Z170 came out, like, yeah, like, because we only had, you know, and Z170 is like when SSDs started to become, like, more affordable, and you could, like, just, like, put some two-sided tape and, like, put it in your case. Like, you didn't necessarily need it a mount, and it's not going to vibrate because there's no moving parts in an SSD. So you didn't have that issue, but. So that is it for all of our news and what we have coming up next week. We come to the end here where we talk about any tech related things we've done recently. If you did anything, saw anything.
No, like, looking around. I always look around when we get to this point. I'm like, what's going on in my room right now? Just like, I have some product and pictures being set up. No, before this, we were talking about, like, Christmas season, and I went to buy Halloween candy on Halloween, right, to put out on the porch. And I was walking in Target, like, back to the seasonal area, and I saw, like, Christmas stuff set up already. I was like, oh no, like, did they already take their candy down? And, like, they don't even have Halloween candy anymore. I got back there, they had it, but it was just like, getting into holiday season.
Yeah.
Black Friday sales. One thing I've liked is, like, I've seen it with, like, Best Buy and Walmart are the ones that I've really seen it with. Are the early sales. So, like, days, you know, like right now, you can get some Black Friday deals online and get your stuff out of time. Yeah. So, you know,
are you looking to make any purchases? Well, I guess not tech, but, like, sizable purchases for holiday season.
I mean, I bought it. I think I talked about it when I bought it. Like, I don't know. I don't even remember when I bought this thing, in the spring, or maybe it was last fall. it was like a house brand Walmart TV, like a 50 or 55 inch on brand, but it's a Roku smart TV, 4K. And it was like $220. I'm like, that's a pretty good deal for a TV.
Yeah.
Like that same TV is available now for on these Black Friday deals. And it's like $128.
That's the thing is like, so
like, I could just buy one and just like have it.
Real Why quick, not? Kosher asked what I'm drinking. I'm drinking Monster. That's my like go-to is the Monster Zero. So I still can't get off energy drinks. It's like bad, but at least this, there's zero sugar. I'm sure there's something else in there that's worse. And there's zero calories. I used to do the, what's the Mountain Dew one called? Amp. I used to do Amp. And Amp had, I think, 220 calories in it and all this sugar. So this doesn't. I'm sure this pantothenic acid isn't great for me. All this other stuff that I'm reading. But
it's probably not good.
Yeah, it's probably not good. But yeah, so like last Black Friday or maybe it was on Prime Day or I don't remember when I bought it, but I bought like a 55 inch brand new Samsung. Yeah, like Samsung last year. It's the QLED, so it's like nicer than like the standard. I really like it. In the bedroom, I don't even know the name of the brand. It's like Kayla's old TV from her apartment. It's like 32 inches, maybe not even be. It's like really small, and it's just like to watch Netflix before you go to bed. I'm like, all these super cheap TVs, like I can get like a 40, 50 inch TV for $100.
Yeah.
For the bedroom. Like it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to maybe grab one for our living room upstairs. We have a pretty small TV in there.
Isn't it nice that you can like buy like a 50 inch TV for like so cheap now? It's like, oh yeah, I'll just get another one. You know? Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking to like replace my CPU with a 5000 series. I'm not going to upgrade my GPU, I don't think. No. I'm pretty set right now, honestly.
Well, I'm still looking for a deal for a drone, but I don't think
Mavic Mini 2.
No, I want the Mavic Pro 2.
Okay.
And obviously, because it recently came out, I didn't think it was going to be on sale for Prime Day. Maybe a Black Friday, we'll see. But I don't really need it either, right? And then, like I said, maybe a TV. I don't need anything else really. So, I was going to talk about something. I forget.
Don't know.
I don't remember. Oh, okay. So one, I'm finally getting a new iPhone, and I went to the store to get an iPhone. I have AT&T. I wanted to go to the store just to get it, whatever. They didn't have it. They're like, go to Best Buy. And I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, well, they can do everything here. They can do there. I haven't been to Best Buy in like years. So it's the first time going to the Best Buy. One, I go in there, they don't have it. But then I was just like, I'm here, like I'm in Best Buy. Let me walk around the PC section. Because I haven't, the last time I was in a Best Buy, the only PC related things that I could buy was an Antec case,
yep,
a Thermaltake CPU cooler, and there was like one, right?
Yeah.
Now I go in there, there's like a full section of graphics cards, obviously no like RTX 30 series, but like full section of graphics cards, NZXT cases, Corsair cases. There's, so again, the last time I was in a Best Buy, like the only nice keyboards they had were like Logitech. You have like full sections of Corsair, full sections of Razer. Like, everybody. It's pretty cool. Not that I would ever shop there, but it's cool to see
motherboards, CPUs.
Yeah, motherboards, CPUs, like AIOs were there. They had everything. It was pretty interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it's no Micro Center or, you know, what Fry's used to be, but
yeah,
it's like they used to have all that stuff, then they got rid of it, and now it's like,
yeah, it was pretty cool to see. But yeah, they didn't have my iPhone. So I finally can pick it up at the Apple store tomorrow. So that's my big thing tomorrow is I get a new phone. It's kind of exciting, I guess. I don't. It's like anymore. It's like I used to get super excited about phones, but like we're seeing it now. We're again generation over generation. There's not these like incredible update. Like there's not these things any. It's all the same, right?
I feel a little like the fanfare over this release was like I didn't even hear about it. And then I was like, oh, they launched a new phone.
I think it's just because of everything. Like you're like, oh, the World Series happened. Interesting. Didn't hear anything about it.
Who won?
Yeah, I don't even know who won.
That is true. Like, yeah, it was here and gone. Like
yeah, like anything these days, you're just not as excited about. And you know, but in any case, guys, we will be ending things here. Oh, I really want. I do want to talk about it. Mandalorian is back. Watch it.
I heard it's good.
I watched the first episode. I watched on Disney Plus. I missed good television, like good shows, mm-hmm. because of everything. There's not a whole lot of new shows being made. So Kosher asked, "What am I doing with my old phone?" So I have an iPhone 10 or X. I will be trading it in because I don't know how, but they're giving me $800 for this to go towards my new phone. I have no clue how that's legal.
Wow.
Yeah. If you have an iPhone 8 or above, they give you, it's like a promo they're doing right now. They're going to give you $800 for that. Yeah. So.
All right.
So yeah. Yeah. I'm cool with that. But yeah. So Mandalorian, Disney Plus, definitely check it out. Again, there's like not enough good TV right now, so it's definitely worth watching.
So don't binge it, like one at a time.
No, they're only
at least. Oh, they're.
Yeah, they're only
series. Okay.
Yeah. So something to look forward to.
I didn't watch until later, and we could just like watch them all.
Yeah. So, but we will be over on Twitch. So if you guys want to keep on hanging out with us, keep on chatting, keep on talking, we will be on twitch.tv/syncomputers. Apex new season, new legend. Was the update really 42 gigabytes? Somebody said that to me.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like I turned it on and then I like made lunch or something earlier today. So
map vehicles.
Yeah. So it's gonna be we'll be doing all that. I believe since Shinny was in the chat, I believe he'll be playing with us as well. So until next week, guys, we'll definitely yeah, we're doing the same. We might have something special next week. I'm not sure if it's set yet, but we will be at the regular time next week, which will be Wednesday at 8:30. So we'll definitely catch everybody next week. If you want to subscribe, if you want to listen to the audio later or re-listen to it on every podcasting app, website, whatever, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, we will catch you guys later.